Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Many of us have a tendency to overindulge during the holiday season. We'll be talking a little later about how to temper some of those urges and take better care of ourselves. But first, the danger of fire. As temperatures drop, the threat from fire seems to go up. There are a lot of reasons for that, ranging from overloaded electrical lines in our holiday homes to homeless people trying to keep warm in abandoned or vacant buildings. Can we do more to reduce the danger of fire? We're going to talk about that and about a major downtown fire a week ago. Joining me in studio are Captain Garen Mosby of the St. Louis Fire Department and Greg Gates. His family owns the Servco warehouse just south of the Arch. The historic building was gutted by fire just a week ago. Thanks, gentlemen, so much for being with us.
Thank you for having.
Thank you, Harry.
Captain Mosby, I'm going to start with you. With apologies to Andy Williams, is this the most dangerous time of the year?
Well, time of the year, it does increase. We have seen an increase due to the decline in temperature. Like you stated in your overview, homeless people trying to stay warm. Persons in normal home, residential homes, with seeking alternative heating sources is also an issue. You know, we really try to encourage folks to use the heating source that the home was built to support, alternative heating sources like space heaters and things that should just be used to supplement.
It just seems year after year we have story after story of those space heaters causing great tragedy.
Right. You know, one of the great pieces of advice is to give space heaters space. And again, we understand that sometimes it's difficult to come up with the financial resources to pay the electrical bill. And we've been telling people that heatupstlouis.org is an excellent resource. If you qualify, there is funding available to help those with their bills.
Yeah, the fire department is very active, is it not, in doing what it can in the area of prevention?
Absolutely. It seems like we say the same things over and over. The message really hasn't changed. You know, the encouraging of smoke alarms, it's huge. You know, a lot of fire fatalities can definitely be prevented. Last Thursday, on the last Thursday's date, there were 11 fatalities reported nationally due to fire. And these things can be prevented. And that's why we're so adamant about smoke alarms. I mean, we come out and install them free of charge. You just can't say it enough.
Keep people get information about all of that on the website you just suggested?
Well, absolutely. You can actually visit the St. Louis Fire Department has a Facebook page, and a lot of our message is on there. You can also dial 314-533-3406 between 8 and 4, and we'll take your information. Get it out, and actual firefighters come to your home, and we install them if you're city residents. That's important, too, being a city resident.
So important. And we'll have all of those numbers and the website and the telephone number you just gave on our website at stlpublicradio.org so that folks can who have maybe not had an opportunity to jot them down
right.
can do so. What do you think is the single biggest mistake that people make that puts them in danger?
Well, according to statistics, Cooking is the leading cause in residential house fires. We encourage people, again, you know, if you're going to cook, and during the holiday season, this is crucial, but you have to attend to the cooking. You got to attend to the cooking. You can't start it and walk. And it's easy to get distracted, and we understand that, but that is the leading cause. Smoking is the leading cause in fatal fires, and that, you know, people smoke in the bed. And again, these aren't new statistics. You know, these have been going on for years. We've been saying the same things for years, but you know, good reminders.
You're talking about grease fires when you're talking about kitchen situations, are you not?
Grease fires are also very dangerous, but cooking in general, getting close to something or you know.
Setting your sleeve on fire.
That can happen as well.
That sort of thing. You know, you guys have such a tough, and gals, a lot of female firefighters these days. You have such a tough job at this time of year. I mean, fighting a fire in sub-freezing temperatures has got to be extraordinarily difficult.
It presents a great challenge. We use water, no surprise there. And these frigid temperatures, water easily turns to ice. Functionality in the hands. You know, there's only so much you can do. Your hands get cold. It's sort of like if you've ever worked on a car, I'm sure you have. You can do so much. And then once your hands become cold, it's just tougher to maneuver. Your extremities get cold. Your feet get cold. We had an incident, ice. We had a fire on South Broadway a week or so ago. And it was a decline. So it slips and falls. You know, you need the additional resources and personnel or whatnot to move hose lines. You know, our lines freeze. You know, we've been encouraged since I came on the job to have, you know, duplicate, to have a backup gloves, backup uniforms, backup everything, because they get wet. And then you do get cold.
I've seen firefighters covered in ice to the point where they look like statues while they're still fighting the fire.
You're like an icicle. Like an icicle.
Absolutely. Well, you had a doozy last week with this Servco fire that we're going to be talking with Greg and you about. How difficult a fire was that for you to deal with?
It was very challenging. Three-story brick building, and it was a heavy timber setup. And saying heavy timber in some of your ordinary construction, you know, 2x4s, we're talking 8x8, 6x10s. So it's very large. You know, they don't build them like that anymore. So there was a heavy fire load on the first floor. It was used as furniture storage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
The second and third stories were vacant. I arrived probably about 7 minutes after the call came in. It was an interesting call. The company officer that responded first, it came in a first alarm, a general alarm, and he wanted a second alarm and said, stand by for a third. So when you hear that, you know that it's really going. And I was telling Mr. Gates earlier, when I walked by the room, you could feel the radiant heat from the building, and then you have the cold temperatures. So it was very challenging, and the water supply becomes a challenge. We surround the building, and we use a lot of water. It gave off a lot of BTUs, a lot of heat. So you need that much more water to extinguish the fire.
Well, it gave Greg, it gave off a lot more than that, in the sense of what it took away from you and your family. Tell us about that building, the some of the history of it.
The building, there's three buildings that we own there. It's a city block, and the last one, the one that burnt down, was the one that I have some great memories of, walking up the steps in the middle of winter, looking at the building to buy it, and the roof leaked. And my brother EJ and I are walking up these steps, and my dad's in his late 60s, early 70s, and we're pulling ourselves up these frozen steps, and we get to the top of the steps, and my brother says to my dad, "What do you want this for?" And he was so proud. What he said was, "I'm going to own a whole city block, and we can redevelop this someday." So he was excited about that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I saw going up in smoke.
How old was the building?
Those buildings are, all three of them are from the 1860s, 1870s. Beautiful old structures, brick walls 2.5 foot thick. Some of the oak columns in there were 3 foot in diameter, so you know the tree had to be 4 foot by the time they cut it down. It was just gorgeous old buildings.
Were you down there as the fire burned, or were you hearing about it like most of us did on the radio or television?
I actually got a call from my brother EJ saying my son was down there and that the building was on fire. I didn't know which building, but I guess I got there about 45 minutes after it started. And wow. I was immediately impressed with the number of fire trucks and firemen there, and how much effort they were making to try to put this fire out. But the flames were huge.
What goes through someone's mind as they watch a good part of family history, not to mention property, going up in flames?
Well, I think the first thing I was really thinking was there anyone in there? Because I didn't know. My son runs the buildings, and I wasn't involved, but after talking with Garen and some of the other people, there it appeared that no firemen were in there. There's some sadness to it, some shock. To watch the smoke and the flames and the wall of water pouring out the dock door, and looking down at your feet, and you've been standing there an hour, hour and a half, and your feet are frozen. These guys have been doing it for 3 hours, 4 hours. They might have been up all night fighting a fire. That was amazing. So it was exciting in a sense, but also a little bit sad, because you are remembering what your father had said and your brother had said and so forth and so on. And there were some dreams that maybe died in the flame, but then there's always new dreams to be born tomorrow.
Well, I suppose that's the best possible way to look at it. The other two buildings are okay?
That is the good news, and that was amazing that they saved the two buildings.
Captain, that's as much a part of your job in many cases as putting out the fire, and that is saving additional property from being lost.
That's one of our incident priorities. We were talking earlier, life safety, of course, being the first. Stabilizing the incident, which may, in this case, fighting the fire. But, you know, saving property to the best of our ability. That four-story building that he was just speaking of to the north, I believe, of the fire building had a great firewall, and our companies did a remarkable job of containing the fire to the building upon arrival. And like I said, that's how we're trained to respond. And it's just great that I was talking to Mr. Gates and the positive outlook. You can just hear it right now in his voice, how positive he is. You see the damage and destruction that the fire caused in the fire building. But the plus or the upside is that we were able to preserve the building just north.
Well, the $64 question in a case like this is what caused the fire? Do we know yet?
That is a good question. our investigators look for burn patterns and things of that nature. What we do know is that a worker had shown up earlier that day to take some measurements in the basement to replace some piping and noticed a fire near an elevator shaft, which would explain why it communicated probably through that vertical shaft and spread so quickly through the building. Being that the building now is extensively damaged and that siding was in the basement of the original fire, the cause currently is open and it would more than likely remain open pending new information.
Greg, there were other fires downtown, in the downtown area, at about the same time. And I think homeless activity by homeless people in those buildings is initially the cause. Is that right, Captain?
I do believe that. We had the one on South Broadway. I think a gentleman was using a wood-burning stove, and that got out of hand. And there was another, I believe, on Papin. And the same kind of story there. Homeless persons were trying to stay warm, and I'm not sure what they set afire, but it got out of control.
And, Greg, what I started to say was that I think maybe you suspected that was the case in your building initially.
I mean, I had a lot of thoughts. We did have a lot of homeless people in the area, but, you know, I guess the focus is I'm thankful that apparently no one was in the building, in particular homeless people, as it appears. So got to find the bright part. You know, half full part of the glass, and that would be it.
Okay, Captain, once those things get going, if there are people inside, it can be extremely difficult for them to get out, can't it?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, we have three major objectives when we arrive at a scene, and adamant about conducting a primary search. If we can get in there, we're an aggressive firefighting department, so we really like to get in there, make an aggressive attack, knock the fire down. But our primary concern is conducting a search for persons, and that's one of the first things we do.
Have to take a break. We'll do that now. You just heard from Captain Garen Mosby of the St. Louis Fire Department. Also with me in studio is Greg Gates. His family owns the Servco warehouse, which was destroyed by fire just a week ago today. And we're talking about the danger of fire, in particular during this holiday season. So stay with us. We'll take a break and come back. If you have any questions you'd like to ask of the captain or of Greg, do so at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL. On air. Back to continue the conversation in a moment. This is St. Louis on the air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation about the fire threat that exists at this time of year. Of course, fires can happen any time, but this seems to be a particularly difficult time because of the drop in temperatures and the use of artificial means of heating buildings, the sometimes overloaded electrical circuits that we establish for holiday lighting and that sort of thing. With me in studio is Captain Garen Mosby of the St. Louis Fire Department and Greg Gates, who owns the property that burned so badly last Monday, the Servco warehouse in downtown St. Louis, just south of the Arch. Greg, there has been a history of fires in that area, though, hasn't there?
There has. The most northern building we have in that block burnt. The one story burnt off in about 1962. I would have been about 12 then. And I was with my father, and we got a call that there was a fire. Servco was then at 3rd and Shoto. And we went over to the building, and the fire department was already there. And apparently a homeless person had climbed the Ameren UE Tower, fallen onto the power lines, caught himself on fire, fell onto our roof, and burned off a story of that building. So, I mean, it just amazing.
That's an incredible story in and of itself. What happened to the person? Did he survive?
Unfortunately, he did not.
Now, I wouldn't think that one could survive that sort of thing.
No.
Captain, what about pre-planning fires like this? We've got some old buildings downtown, and these are particularly vulnerable to fire. Were you familiar with that building before the fire actually took place?
Personally, I was not. When it did come in, I was at headquarters. And the conversation, the deputy, one of the deputy chief in particular, recalled exactly what the building was, and I believe recalled the incident that you spoke of with the gentleman climbing the tower there. So one of the things that we're also encouraged to do in our response areas, the various companies go out and conduct inspections, more or less walkthroughs or familiarizations, so that when you get an incident, you're familiar with the layout. Like I said earlier, we're an aggressive firefighting department.
And yes, you are.
One of the things, you know, if you've seen something before, when the time comes, if the time comes, it's in the back of your mind and you have some familiarity with where you're going and where things are. You know, it's essential to locate, you know, the electrical shutoff or the gas shutoff. So pre-planning is huge in what we do, particularly the older buildings and high-rise buildings.
And that's an ongoing process. I'm sure, given the number of buildings we have downtown, that you're doing it almost 24/7.
Daily, definitely an ongoing thing.
Yeah. And, Greg, I'm somewhat touched by the fact that you want to be sure that you have an opportunity to say to St. Louis firefighters how appreciative you are over what they've done.
Yeah, it didn't take very long after arriving on the scene to look around and see how lucky we are in St. Louis to have such a great fire department. This concern, the number of people that came up to me and offered their we had that conversation.
Right.
We first met, and he said, I don't remember exactly what you said.
I just, how are you doing, sir? And I didn't know that it was your building. I said, hey, sir, how you doing? And he said, well, that's my building. And very, very rarely am I without words, but you know, I apologize for your loss.
There were so many firemen that came up.
I think there were 80. Weren't there 80? At least
nearly 80, yes, sir, on a four-alarm. Yeah. Four fire.
Yeah, it's a thankless job. I mean, I'm so glad they were there. And they saved our buildings, and no one got hurt. And that they didn't get hurt was amazing.
What's the future plans for what's left of your Servco building?
We're exploring a lot of options. We don't know. Currently, we have three tenants in the two buildings left, and we're hearing what needs to be done with the building that's destroyed. And we're not really sure.
Yeah, it's only been a week.
Yeah.
Let's take a call. We have Ed joining us from St. Louis. Ed, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I appreciate this show. And I heard on this station about winter turned over, and there was something about how many homeless people have froze to death. There was some, and they did it on winter, and really, what I think about, we have homeless people in these buildings. We do. We have homeless people, and they're trying to stay warm, do you see? Because I'm saying, wow, if I had to make a decision, would I rather freeze to death or take a chance on lighting a fire in a building? How would I want to go? And that is such a sad thing.
Ed, thank you so much for the call. We have certainly alluded to the homeless. Captain, how can you patrol that, or what can you do about it as a firefighting organization?
It's a very serious issue, and we do have vacant buildings, a number of them in the city. A lot of them are boarded up. I think the city is vigilant in getting out there and trying to board up those homes. But like the gentleman alluded to in his comments, when you're cold, You know, they'll take a board down and enter, and we understand that issue. It's very real. What we're trained to do is to make a thorough search of the building. And the gentleman's absolutely right. They're really just trying to stay warm. So as a fire department, life safety being our just number one absolute priority, one of the first things we do is conduct a search of the building.
But what I'm thinking of is before there's a fire. I mean, and knowing that certain buildings do attract people who are in this position.
Well, I will say this as well. We spoke about the fact that companies in their response areas go out and do walkthroughs of buildings. These aren't necessarily occupied buildings. You know, I was stationed at Blair and Salisbury, and we had a number of vacant homes in that area. And we would take a peek as a company and walk inside vacant buildings. And if you see that someone has been living there, you know, there are definitely steps to take to report that. But it is a very real problem, and you know, definitely that primary search when we do have an incident is definitely key.
And increases the potential danger to the building manyfold. Yes. Just by knowing that people are in there. Yes. Interestingly, we did a program last week on this new reality television program out of St. Louis, Salvage City. You've been in contact with those folks already with regard to your building.
I have talked to Sam, and I was touched by what they were trying to do. My wife's an artist. And was kind of excited by the fact that something would be made of the rubble or a piece of metal or something, and perhaps to honor my father. I mean, it's a memory, and that's really what life's all about. But there'll be something someplace, perhaps on a desk, a piece of that building.
And the reaction to your call?
From Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, very positive. He was very. He called immediately, and he's. I think he's coming by today.
Very good. Well, it would be an interesting assignment for him. He wouldn't have to knock down any doors or break any windows to get in. That's for sure.
The thing I caution him about is how dangerous that building is. That's the problem.
Yeah, and Captain, you want to keep people away from sites like this.
Absolutely, it's still a dangerous place. We don't want people crawling around inside, if you will.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, and Captain, I'd like to turn to you for just some basic tips for this holiday season. What is your best advice for people, if you don't mind going through some of the things you'd advise?
Not at all. We're going to really push the smoke alarms. I can't overemphasize the importance. Testing them monthly. If you don't have them and you're a city resident, please, please call us. You know, we'll take down your information, send firefighters out to install those. Being that cooking is the leading cause.
I'm still surprised by that, but go ahead. Fires,
definitely tend to your cooking. We know people are going to be cooking more due to the holiday season, so pay attention. As far as the Christmas tree, we have an excellent visual aid on our Facebook page, St. Louis Fire Department Facebook page, of a dry Christmas tree as opposed to a well-watered Christmas tree. And just you see this visual, you really have to see it. It's amazing. So definitely keep your Christmas tree watered with lights. If you're leaving the home, de-energize, unplug the lights.
If people have never seen a picture of a dry Christmas tree burning, they're in for something, because they go very quickly.
They go. In fact, when they tell you if your tree is dry, to not only take it out of service, take it out of the house, they want you to remove it far away from the house. That's just how much of a hazard it is. The National Fire Academy really stresses that.
It used to be that the lights could get hot enough to ignite these trees. Is that still the case, or have we gotten ahead of that?
Not quite sure. We might be there, but definitely inspect the lights. If the wires are cracked or frayed, or, you know, discard it. Don't try taping it and saving it. It might be time for some new lights.
You have cats or dogs that want to chew on the wires.
That's right. And then there are those wires that many people will run across entire rooms or entire floors of buildings to get at something they want to illuminate.
Right.
Same danger.
Definite real hazard. And, you know, running behind couches and under carpet, definitely want to discourage that. Candles, actually, you know, if you can get an artificial candle, a lot safer. If you're going to burn candles, because we understand decorating, it's that time of year, keep them away from things that burn. What burns? Pretty much everything. So give them space as well.
You know, I lived in Germany for a number of years, and they still use candles on their Christmas trees.
Really? Wow.
And I'd say, if you want to be frightened sometime, go to Christmas Eve in a German house with candles all over the dry tree, perhaps. I want to thank you, gentlemen, so much for being with us and giving us some insight as to the fire danger this time of year. Greg Gates, great to see you.
Thank you, John.
About your loss, and hopefully you're taking it, obviously, in a manner
We're
that
lucky.
I think is very positive. You are lucky, and things, I'm sure, will work out well for you. And Captain Mosby, thank you so much for being with us, giving us some very, very good advice. Now, you mentioned cooking a little while ago. When you're talking about cooking, you're also talking about eating, and that's what we're going to be talking about next. Food and fitness over the holidays is our next subject. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.